hands, Jesus. We thank you for your cross. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for each of our lives individually. We thank you as a family for what you've done, Lord, and what you're doing. And we want to say, like David, our hearts rejoiced when we knew we would come down to the house of the Lord. Father, thank you for the street tonight, to be in your presence, to have space and time to connect with you. Thank you for the band, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Thank you for their preparation. Thank you for their faith. Thank you for their skill and what they've pressed into you to lead us to your presence. Thank you that you were here before we were here tonight, Lord. Thank you for the privilege that we could meet with you. And we want to just bring our hearts to you tonight, Lord. You know, and God is such a gentleman. He never bulldozes us. He always asks. He always requests. So we need to choose whether we open to what God wants to say. There's always a personal choice. And if you want to make that choice tonight, you can just agree with me as I pray. Lord, we give our hearts to you tonight. We choose to open our hearts for work that you want to do through your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We just choose to give you the rooms of our hearts, give you the keys. We choose to unlock our doors, Lord. And we want to receive from you tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you open our ears. Just let every word that's of you, Father, let it reach us in our spirits. Thank you that you come and do a work, that you change us tonight, because that's who you are, Lord. You just don't come to talk, Father, but you come to do a work in our hearts. And we're excited for that. And we thank you for that. And we have an expectation for that. We love you, Jesus. And we're so blessed to be in your presence. May your name be glorified. Amen. Thank you so much, band. You know, it's so important that we never get stuck in a structure, so that there's no space for the Holy Spirit. And I want to just explain, if maybe some of you weren't so sure, but you know, after the song, Stephen started just singing lyrics as the Holy Spirit was leading him. And you know, so those were not part of the song's lyrics. That was specific to right now. And Stephen didn't think this afternoon, what will he do at the end? Or if he will do something. He's experienced and he's learned to hear the voice of the Lord in that way. So he... Is it me? Not me, okay. So he knew what the Lord was saying, where the Lord was leading him. And you know, that's the function of a worship band. They're not the ones who only worship. We all worship. So their function is not just to worship. Their function is to lead us in the worship. And it's so important that they do that, also beyond the songs. And we honor you guys for that, band. Wherever you spread out now. Y'all, maybe give them a hand. We honor them for the fact that they're willing to press into the Lord and lead us there. So tonight, let me introduce myself. I see there's some new people. My name is Liana. I pastor the church here together with my husband, Reno. He left with the kids to put them in bed. and I'm going to be sharing tonight. I'm so excited. Using art. So I want the artist actually to stand up quickly. Neil, I think. Don't think Michelle's here. Lizanne and Linka. Is it Michelle? She was here this morning. And Linka. So there's two of them. There's two more. Four of them in total. Their artworks are hanging on the wall at the back. That's the real sermon on the wall. So I'll just give you some notes, and then afterwards you can go look at the real sermon on the wall. And whenever you come back to the office, take some time and stand. No, you can stay standing. So the Lord spoke to me quite a while ago, and I felt I should share with the church what has God done in this church since we planted 7 years ago. And Rainer told Neil, and Neil said, but why don't we create it through art? And we prayed about it, and a whole process later, we have four incredibly amazing, high-quality artworks expressing the message that I'm bringing today. So Lizanne and Neil and Michelle and Linka, in your absence, we just want to honor you guys. You can give them a hand. You guys can sit down. We just really want to thank you guys, because you know what they did as well, is they prayed. They didn't just think up something. They prayed, they asked the Lord what's on his heart. And we went through a whole process. We were all communicating back and forth and making changes, and they really put out their faith for what the Lord wants to say. And you know, what's prophecy? Prophecy is speaking the words of God. It's speaking God's voice. And a prophetic artwork is something that speaks. So the art, and I'm gonna tell you some of what it speaks. And the thing about prophecy is it's alive because it's from God and because it's inspired. You know, none of us hear perfectly from God, so I'm not saying it's perfect and that the message is, you know, 100% as God intended it. That is never how it is, because as humans. But they've wrestled with God, and it is inspired. And, you know, some of it I'll share to you tonight, but it may also minister to you personally. If you stand in front of it, the Lord may speak to you through it. And, you know, I have some prophetic art in my house, and I love it, because it says something to you, and a year later, you look at it again, the Lord says something else to you. And, you know, just as a prophecy, when we speak into the atmosphere, something changes. Okay, so God didn't make us, you know, he asked us to pray because he made us to partner with him on earth, and we have authority. So when we pray, when we literally speak it, something changes. It's not just a nice idea to pray. And it's the same with prophecy. And that's in words. But in the image, those paintings are changing the atmosphere as well. Just them hanging there, because they have been wrestled through with God and they are inspired, their hanging there changes the atmosphere of this room. And they will continue to speak over Cape Town and over Africa. So that is very amazing, for me, at least. Okay, so as I've prayed about what the Lord has done over the last 7 years, and I'm just going to share some stories with you. I've gone through all our intercession journals since we started the church. Intercessions are prayer meetings, and I've gone through a lot of notes, spoken to people, etc. So there's a lot of stories, and I can't share everything tonight. So many miracles of what God has done. I've written most of it here in my preparation. And if you want me to copy this for you and give you the whole thing, then just email me this week. Or email Kobi, ronnebosch@showofonline.org. And then I'll make sure that you get an actual copy, and then you can go through everything. The artworks themselves, they each have a description and a whole lot of scripture references. And I encourage you to take a picture with your phone of the description and the scriptures. And even at home, go through the scriptures. You know, let that sermon preach to you as you go through the week. It's really going to be a blessing to you. So as I was going through everything, one of the scriptures that the Lord has been giving us since the beginning of this church, which is 7 years ago, is from Ezekiel. And it's, you can go on to that next one, about, you know, Ezekiel's strange descriptions. Their faces look like this. Each of the four, so it's these creatures he sees, and they've got four faces. At the face of a human being, on the right side, the face of a lion, on the left, an ox, and also an eagle. The same reference comes, we come across it in Revelations as well, the four faces. And the Lord took these four faces and he categorized what he's done in church for me into four broad categories based on these faces. This is also what we base the paintings on. It all seems really weird right now, but it's going to be very clear just now. I also want to say, just also with, you know, explaining the way that we worship and that we trust the Holy Spirit to lead us into lyrics that's not pre-planned, because we want to sing what is on his heart right now. And, you know, a lot of things we do in church, it could sometimes seem weird. But I think in Christianity today, there's a lot of weird going on, and some of it is really weird. And I always say, and I'd just like to say tonight as well, that, you know, we don't go for weird. We go for obedience to the Holy Spirit. So just to put it out there, we never do something because it's weird. That's definitely never our heart. We do something because it's biblical. And trust me, some biblical things are weird. I mean, this is weird. Try, read the rest of that chapter and try and imagine what he's talking about. Wheels full of eyes and a wheel, and it's quite crazy. Wings everywhere. But we just go for obedience and in how the Lord leads us. So the first image that God spoke a lot about when he planted the church was that of the eagle. Maybe go back one, I'll get to that now. And so let me say this. We planted the church in 2010 on the 17th of January. We were all, a group of us were part of Shofar Gardens, which is in town. The people who were part of the group that came with to plant the church, stand up quickly if there's some of you here tonight. Barry, yes. Okay. So those are the people, so you can also go and ask them some to tell you some testimonies. They were here from the beginning. You guys can sit down. So a whole group of us came and we planted this church. And Marnus and Janet Altman, they were also here. They planted the church with us. And, you know, God sometimes does things like Matthew was explaining in the offering. He does, there's something in the natural, but it has a meaning. It has a prophetic meaning, actually. It's a symbol. So Marnus and Janet had their firstborn child on the 3rd of January, just before we planted the church. And at the time, we knew the Lord was telling us that her birth, Rebecca's birth, was a symbol of the church being born. And just in that January, we planted the church. It was interesting. In those first years, we didn't have a lot of parents with kids. So the Lord let it happen every time that a child was born. It was when something significant happened. It was quite interesting in that those first years. So we planted. And an image that the Lord showed us a lot in the first years was that of an eagle. And if you can just go to the image. So this is the first artwork which Neil created. And you can see the eagle there. And the eagle symbolizes the prophetic because the eagle can see really far. And we really planted the church in intercession and in the prophetic. We really, really prayed a lot. And I think, you know, it's been such a treat for me going through the notes and praying through it. Because I've really seen what the Lord has done over the last 7 years and how incredible it is. So who of you keep a journal of your quiet time or just a general journal? Okay, so who of you have ever, the Lord did something or something happened, and then at some time you're paging back through your journals, and you see that you prayed for it, and you realize it happened and you prayed for it, but when it happened, you forgot that you prayed for it. Who's that happened to? Okay, so that has happened to me a lot as well. And you know that often we ask God for something, then he does it, and we even forget that we asked. And then we miss that opportunity to glorify God for what he's done. And this has been like that for me in a way, to see, you know, what everything has, have we asked the Lord and what has he done? And one of the things that I've really learned in this process is just how big the picture is, you know. God sees a really big picture. We just see a part. You know, the Bible says we all see in part. And the context, the real context is so big and it's bigger than we can see. The real picture is too big for us to see. And sometimes we forget it exists. And we think that what we see is the full picture, but it isn't. And it was so refreshing for me for God to remind me that the picture is so big. And I think that's what he's also reminding us of tonight, is just what, I mean, I've written a lot of things. I've gone through a lot of things. I feel like I see a lot, but I know that even what I see is a glimpse. And glorious as it is, it's only a glimpse. And yet there's so much more, and it's so good for us to keep that perspective, that God's picture is so big. That's why we need to trust him, because we can't see everything. And even though God sees this really big picture, he also sees every little detail that we also can't even see. You know, relative to God, we see so little of what he does. And it's such an encouragement to our hearts to trust him in all he does when we realize what he sees and what we don't see. So one of the scriptures that's really stood out for me as I've gone through my research that God really speaks to this church, and, you know, as I share tonight, really what you're going to be hearing is who are we and what does God do here? And each one of us, God intended for us to be here tonight. You know, nothing is accidental in God's hands. And there's things that God wants to say to each one of us specifically. You know, those of us who are members here, this is us. God is saying, this is how I use you. This is what I've done. This is what I want to do. And there's an invitation for each one. And even those who are not members tonight, God knew you were here. So there's a glimpse for you and an invitation about what God does here and what he still wants to do. So in the beginning years, we had really like a lot of intercession. And this big scripture came out. It's Micah 4. Verse 1 to 5, I'm not going to read the whole one, but just pieces. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they have war anymore. So from the very beginning, God specifically speaking to us about establishing his house on the mountain. You know, no coincidence that we're right here on the mountain. And from the beginning, God's been showing us the significance spiritually of UCT in terms of location, in terms of how it was built, by whom it was built, with which intention it was built, including Rhodes Memorial. Also, in terms of its potential, in terms of all the nations that come through UCT all the time. So we are not a student church. We are a family church that includes everyone. But we do have that student section. See you guys. and we need you guys, and you guys need us. I love that. We all need each other. You know, years ago there was a suggestion that we split the services and we tell people that we want the students to come in the evening and we want the working people to come in the morning. I said, no, that's never going to work. We all need each other. There's you know, it's just like the Lord does, different genders, different nations. We all need each other. We all have different giftings. We have different perspectives. And as Christians especially, we need those things to come together so we can see a bigger picture. God loves to work through bringing together. God is not like it's not into lone rangers, cowboys. God works in teams. He loves it, especially when different perspectives comes together. So you guys can see this is the summer house. It's on UCT campus. It's been a place where we've had intercession for a long time, not at the moment, but before. Significant place due to its location. This is UCT itself. This is the Jamison Hall, very beautiful hall on UCT. We've had all-night prayers there. We've had Hunger for God Day where we fast and we express through arts what God is saying. A lot of memories that we have here. If you go look at the painting, there's a band there. There's the dancer. And when we planted the church as well, the Lord showed me a vision of a little seed. And he said to me that we're planting that seed on the stairs, the Jammy stairs, which are these stairs. And he gave me that scripture. It will be like the root of Jesse, the planting of the Lord. And it will be glorious, speaking about Jesus, really, and showing me that he's going to grow a tree on UCT, and which is really Jesus, and that the roots will go down, and that the ground is going to crack open. That we're going to break open the fallow ground. You can see the crack here. And over the years, every now and then in a vision or in intercession from different people, and sometimes people who didn't know, this vision of a tree would come out, and the Lord would keep speaking about our church as a tree. And every time it would get bigger and bigger in the visions and in the words. And 2 months ago, we've heard that we have an opportunity in the Jamison Hall, which Raina will still tell you guys about. And I was praying about that, and the Lord showed me when I prayed that the tree is now bigger than Jamison, like you can see in the picture. Yes, and it was so encouraging to me to see it. And actually, in my vision, we were all sitting on the top of the tree, and we had this vision. We could see, you know, over almost the whole continent. In my vision, it's not be pretty high to get that for real. It's all possible. So over the years, this image has come through, and I love what Neil saw when he was creating this. He just brought me to that scripture in Matthew 13, verse 32, and says, "Though it is the smallest of seeds, yet it grows into the largest plant, and all the birds of the air will flock to it and make their nest there," right there at the bottom. And you can go back to the picture. He drew these colorful birds. It feels so wrong to me to put the artwork on here because it makes the resolution so bad, but you can look on the real, really amazing one. All the birds, these colorful birds, and Neil felt that it represented the School of Nations, which I'm going to speak about a little bit more just now. So just some interesting stories that the Lord has done. We planted the church. We had a lot of prayer. We fought some spiritual battles, especially in those first years. We always struggled to find a venue. We often, for a month or so, often we had to have our office in coffee shops, you know, pack up everything, have it in storage, pack it out again. It was interesting days. Essie was very much part of that. She could tell you a lot of stories. And in something significant, so we've had missions trips from the first year that we planted the church. We've had 19 in total. I might have missed one or two, but at least 19. Over 7 years, and the teams will go from 5 to 15 people. So it's about average of 7, if I'm conservative. which means it's like 140 people that's gone on missions in the last 7 years, which is quite amazing. We've also had interns, 12 interns over the years, and staff and amplified coaches. But a specific mission that we did in the second year of the church, 2011, was that we had one team going to DRC, we had one team going to Tanzania. So myself and Raina, we love missions. We've always done a lot of missions trips. And since we've been engaged and married those years, we started going together. But that year, we felt specifically led by the Lord to go to different teams, which was strange for us. But we understood it later because as we prayed for the missions teams, we saw that the DRC team went to Kinshasa, which is on the coast, and they traveled almost on the coast, and they traveled inwards. And we went to Dar es Salaam, which is on the coast, and we traveled inwards. So the two teams together prayed across the continent of Africa in a line like this. And later in that year, so when we were there and we prayed, we had this scripture from Ezekiel 20 that the Lord confirmed. And it basically says, it's Ezekiel 20, verse 46 to 48, so you can go read it at home. It says, "Son of man, set your face towards the south. Preach to the forest of the south and say to the forest, I'm going to set a fire in you that will not be quenched. It will touch every face and everyone will know that I have said it and it will not be quenched." Basically speaking of revival, and the Lord's saying, you know, for us standing across the continent of Africa just to prophesy to the south, which is Cape Town, and to say that from Cape Town, the revival's going to start. And we also saw a vision of that the Lord would send horses around the coast of we saw these horses going around the coast of South Africa, and we felt it was evangelism. It was the word of the Lord going out. So that was in 2011, and then at the end of that year, we had the first Coast to Coast, which went around the coast, evangelizing. So we realized, and that was organized by Stellenbosch, but we were a big part of it, but we realized that the Lord was fulfilling his word. And we've had three Coast to Coast since then. We have it every second year, and we go all around the coast. And then also, the year after that, in 2012, we had a prayer with all the Shofar churches in this region, and actually some like Stellenbosch, some of the other regions as well. We all went to Rhodes Memorial. So Rhodes Memorial is built to be a replica of a temple in Egypt, the Temple of Karnak. It faces each other, literally, geographically, and it looks the same. Except that one in Egypt has got sphinxes and Rhodes have got the lions. So it's spiritually very significant. And if you draw a line from the one to the other, it crosses the whole continent from south to north. And that has spiritual implications on the whole continent. If you go to Rhodes Memorial, you also read the inscription there. It's quite dark. You'll understand what also the Rhodes Memorial, what that very monument is prophesying over the continent. And it's not prophesying from the Lord. So we felt that we should pray there and simultaneously pray in Cairo. So we were at Rhodes Memorial and we had a team. CS took a team and they went to Cairo and we were on Skype and we were praying at the same time, crossing the whole continent. And actually, when Sias and them came to Egypt, they kept running into other Christians who were going to the same place on the same evening to pray, Egyptian Christians. So they ended up being this big group, our people and a whole lot of actual Egyptian Christians, all praying together. So the Lord gave them the same place and the same night, and they just kind of linked up like that. And we were all praying at the same time, and towards the end of the prayer, the Skype started cracking up, and eventually we lost contact with them. And a few days later, we found out that people came, because they were not in a public space, well, public, but kind of a deserted area. I think they chose it geographically. And they apparently, people came to stone them. So groups came with rocks and things, and they had to flee, which is why we lost contact. But they were all fine. But just showing that the spiritual realm understood what was going on. And so the year before, we covered the continent like this, and that night, we covered the continent like this, and in between, around the coast, which we keep on doing every second year. So really something significant that the Lord did there, and, you know, very much part of the calling that the Lord has for us. So from the beginning of the church, we've always gotten this word, Isaiah 43, verse 6. It says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. And from the beginning, the Lord has said to us that in this church, what he specifically calls us to do, we call to a lot of things, the intercession, the prophetic, the evangelism, the supernatural, which probably all Christians are called to, but he specifically calls us to raise up leaders for Africa and for the world. And he will send us sons and daughters, not just congregants. You know what's the difference? The Bible speaks about sheep. He says, in the shepherd, he says, there's a hireling and there's a son. A congregant or a hireling is the one who warms the seat. A son or a daughter is the one who connects, part of the family. You know, that's what a son or a daughter is. It's the one who has a mom and a dad. And there's a family connection. And I think it's something the Lord has always graced us with as a church. He's just always had this grace on us to be a family. And the Lord has really and continues to send people here. And myself and Raina are not the only mother and father. There are many mothers and fathers in this church. And that I can testify of. And many spiritual children. And many of the children keep becoming the mothers and the fathers, which is amazing and how it should be. But something we've seen is just that the Lord has already done that. So for instance, and I'm going to get to that. Let me actually leave that for a little bit later. Get to that a bit later. So in 2012, the Lord led us. We were really fighting a lot for territory in the spiritual realm, just natural things like venues and favor in the area, things we felt led to do. We prayed a lot. Most of it's like there was a whole year where we prayed twice a week at 5 in the morning. We prayed on campus, a group of us. You know, always when I speak to the students who join the church now, we say there's amazing things happening on campus for God. You don't always see it. It's not on the news, unfortunately. But there's a lot of doors opening, and there's a lot to be excited about. But there were years, and it's not only us, you know, a lot of churches have worked the ground, but there's been years that's been going into that, which is awesome to see the fruit that it bears. But in 2012, we, a few leaders, we were together away for the weekend, and the Lord confirmed the word that we should fast for 8 days. Only water. So for everyone, it was the first time, such a long fast. And we the leaders, about 6 of us, we decided we're going to do it, and we asked who else wanted to, and 24 people volunteered. So we were 30 people who fasted, I think everyone, it was their first time, for 8 days, just on water. And the Lord really did an incredible work in us and also for the church in that time. It's, for me, really stands as a beacon. And coming from those prayers, there were specific things that the Lord showed us, places to go pray and, you know, people to reach out to. And one of the things that he showed us was there's this, let's do this one, there's the Liesbeek River. And in Kings, there's a story where the Lord said to them, put salt in the water and it will make the water sweet. It will heal the water. And water is such a symbol in the spiritual realm of life. You know, Jesus says, I bring living water. So the water is always symbolic of, is the life good or is the life bad that's going on? Is there life or is there death? You know, let me just pause it there. Something I shared this morning as well. You know, all of us are gifted differently. We all see differently. We all connect to the Lord differently. I am prophetic, so I think of everything in terms of seasons and scriptures and symbols and what does it mean. And it's fine if you don't see like that or you don't think like that. So let me just put that proviso in there. Some people are very practical. Some people are very structured, and that's all fine. We all see differently, and we need all the different perspectives. So you're getting the message tonight in a very, in the way that I see it, full of pictures and seasons and prophetic things. So bear with me, and don't worry if that's not the way you think. but may the Holy Spirit reveal it to you in a way that relates to you. Just let me put that in there. So we did that one morning. We put salt there. We wrote scriptures on lots of cards, and the Lord showed us where to take it all over campus, all over Rondebosch. We drove to lots of places in groups, and this was one of the things. So this was the Rondebosch Fountain. It was on the corner of Main and Belmont, just outside here. It was a heritage site, and as we prayed, the Lord showed us that, you know, a fountain, the Bible often speaks about a fountain opening up the wells, opening up your fountain, your living water, your spirit. Are you connected to the Holy Spirit? Is your fountain open? Is the water fresh? Are you connected to Jesus? And the Lord showed us this fountain was a representation of water that was not the Lord. And there's a lot of, you know, you can come and ask me afterwards, so ask Neil. We can explain to you just the particular things the Lord showed us and how he showed it to us. But the same as the paintings, the fountain was also something that was speaking into the atmosphere, but not the message of God and not in the kingdom that we were working for. And we just put a scripture on it and we prayed, and that was in 2012. So we left it at that, and in 2015, last year, we had a coast-to-coast outreach on a Sunday here in the service. We had 5 dancers, and one of the dancers was a celebration dance of victory. And I felt before the time that we should do that dance in the street, the literal street, because, I mean, it's short. We can just stop the traffic for 2 minutes. And then on that evening, we actually did that. But just before we did that, I looked, and I realized the fountain was gone. And it turns out that someone had driven into it, and it got damaged, and they removed it. But what is miraculous is not that someone drove into it, but that they removed it because it is a heritage site. So heritage sites never get removed. They always get restored. You know, even if a house, even if all the walls on the inside fall out and it's a heritage house, they'd restore it because it's a historical site. So that's really just a natural manifestation of something that the Lord is doing and the ground that he has given us, very much in the realm of the prophetic and the intercession. And you can go to the next one. This is the description of that artwork. You can go and read it on the wall. I'm not going to read through the whole thing now. We'll take a photo and read it in the week. Okay, so in those first few years, that was a lot of the focus, and to me, that always comes back to that picture of the eagle. And then the Lord gave us, he confirmed a vision to us through a few people, and it was a vision of 2 legs running. And the one leg was called intercession, and the other leg was called evangelism. And I'm not surprised that we had that vision a lot, because we have so many runners in church, and really good ones. But I remember that vision, and the Lord is saying to us, we started the way that he wanted us to start, but now it's time to run on 2 legs. It's time to go with both. And the Lord really started exploding the church in evangelism and the supernatural. And to me, that always comes back to the picture of the lion. You can go on to the next slide there. This is Michelle's artwork. It's called The Cry of a Warrior. Yes. My resolution is not great, but you look at the one on the wall, but there's a lion on the shield of this warrior. So she said that this is... the artwork is a call to action to proclaim the gospel. So the focus of the artwork is the mouth and the cry of the warrior, the cry for the lost, the cry of salvation. And as, you know, we are in this battle. And in those years, the Lord spoke to us, myself and Rena, there was a holistic fair just here. What is that? There by Liesbjerg. And myself and Rena went there one day just to check it out, and it's palm reading, crystal balls, tarot cards, those kind of things. And there was a lady that was there for healing, and I just said, can we pray for her leg? We prayed for her, and I said, we pray in the name of Jesus. She said, it's fine. And her leg got healed. And I said, Rena, that's amazing. We often see healing in church, but that not that quick and that easy. But I realized she came there for healing, so she had already inclined her heart towards it. And we saw there's an opportunity here. So we started a stall at the Holistic Fair, and we said we do readings, which is pretty much a prophetic word, dream interpretation, which is us trusting the Holy Spirit for an invitation, and healings. And then if people came to our stall, we'd tell them that we're Christians and we pray in the name of Jesus. They would say that's fine. We taught ourselves to use different language, so we didn't talk about the anointing and the scripture and the blood and salvation. We didn't talk like that. Like we talk in church, we just said, do you want to connect to the spirit of truth? Do you mind if I pray to Jesus? But we saw incredible healings. We saw salvations. We actually found a whole lot of people who've been in church before who were backslidden. We found there and could really connect, invite them back to church. And after a few times, the other people asked the organizers that they don't want to sit next to us because our aura is canceling theirs. So if they would sit next to us, their tarot cards wouldn't work, or their balls. And after about, we did that for about a year, and then they actually cancelled the whole fair because it wasn't really working anymore. And I prescribed that to the Lord's presence. And in that time, we also went to trance parties. Who doesn't know what a trance party is? Okay, so it's like a weekend party that you go to some deserted place where somehow the police never gets there. And there's a lot of drugs, and there's a lot of trance music, and people kind of pitch their tents, and they stay over like two nights, and a lot of drinking and trancing, and kind of builds up over the weekend. It's actually, there's a big spiritual element to it as well. So we used to go there and do the same. We have this tent, and we say we do readings, and we saw some amazing healings. I'll tell about one now. We also found we often helped girls who were drunk. We'd often find girls passed out somewhere. More than once, we'd find, you know, a girl without her pants or whatever, passed out, and we would take them to our tent and just keep them safe. So we did a lot of that, and single moms and dads go there, or couples, but with kids. And they take the young kids there, and they go drink and party, and the kids play around there. It's kind of hippie vibes, so it's, you know, free, loving, whatever. It's really not a place for children, so that was quite hard for me to see, but we often just took the children and kept them safe, and we prayed for them, and we had a lot of children getting spirit-filled, because we'd pray for them and talk to them, and those children have been very exposed. They've seen everything there. And some of them even been exposed to drugs themselves and alcohol. But they're like toddlers. They were like under 10, you know. But we were able to pray for them. And the one day, once when we were there, a girl came in and she had a headache. And I prayed for her. And the headache got healed. And she was quite surprised because it left instantly. And she said to me, "So how do you get into this?" I said, "No, I met Jesus. That's how I got into this." And I was sharing my testimony with her, but not quite like you would normally share it around here. Just because of the way she asks questions, it was a lot of fun. And then she called her brother, and he'd been in a fight like long before or something, and he smashed up one of his knuckles. So if you looked at his hand, like the one knuckle was not there, it was flat. And it was like painful, it was long ago, so it was old injury, but it was still got painful. He said, like, you know, when it's rainy or things like that. And Raina said, "But can I pray for that?" And I even thought, okay. And he said, "Yeah, sure." And Raina prayed for him, and in front of our eyes, it grew back, the knuckle. That was astounding. Of course, his sister was like, she still wanted to tell him about her headache, and then she was like, "Okay, well, never mind." And we had such an amazing time sharing with them about Jesus and introducing them to Jesus. They came to church with us once. I didn't come again, but, you know, the Lord is faithful, and he will walk his journey with them. But some incredible things that we saw there in those years. And a lot of things happening in church. We did hospital ministry. We saw so many healings, and we still see healings today, but especially in the hospitals, you know, where the need is so great. Also in that time, TP, who of you knows TP? Tapaneshwa from Zimbabwe, he's a real firecracker. He went, took these teams to do ministry in the streets. And the one week they spoke to a Muslim guy, and TP said to him, "Can I speak to you about Jesus?" And he said, "No, I don't want to speak about Jesus." Can I understand that? And then TP said, "Can I pray?" He was paralyzed, he was in a wheelchair. TP said, "Can I pray for your legs?" And he said, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." And I think TP was kind of annoying. He was bugging him, probably, and going, "No, but just let me pray for you." And I think eventually she said, "Just let me pray for you, and then I'll leave." And the guy said, "Okay, pray for me." And he prayed for him, and the guy started feeling something in his leg. And he prayed, and he prayed, and eventually, you know, he took the guy's hand and pulled him up, and eventually the guy walked, a paralyzed guy. And he says, you know, obviously the guy was crying, and eventually went back to sit down to rest. And TP said, he just looked at him, and he said, "Okay, so tell me about Jesus." And TP could lead him to the Lord. And so that was quite powerful. Lots of stories like that. One of the scriptures from that time that came out a lot, Joel 3 verse 16, "The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." Just that strength, you know, like that image of the lion that we saw. And, you know, the Lord speaks to me, and he's shown me that from when the church started, he establishes things and he moves on to something else. But that first thing never goes away. So the Lord established the church in intercession, but we will always be strong in intercession. Because the Lord establishes other things doesn't mean we lose the first things. So it's like a circle that goes like this. You kind of every now and then come back to the same thing, but the Lord takes it a level up and a level up and a level up. So we never lose anything, which is great. And in 2012, I had a word, and I felt that God would, the babies that would be born prophetically would be revival babies. They are a picture of the revival that is to come. And I felt there would be 12. So Convergence is our annual conference at the end of September every year. And we always think of a church year as running from beginning of October to beginning to end of September. That's kind of our church year. And I felt in that year would be 12 revival babies, but I didn't tell anyone. And someone else in intercession then said that. So I thought, okay. Then Cindy Jacobs, who knows who she is, very trusted prophet from America, she prophesied that year revival babies would be born. Then Lecrae, who knows who Lecrae is, he said it in an interview that he felt there would be revival babies. Then Sia said it in Stellenbosch, pastor from Shofar Stellenbosch. So I thought, wow, there is really something happening here. And in that exact time frame in our church, exactly 12 babies were born. My son, Evan Aiden, Zoe Ledgerwood, Zoe and Megan, the twins, Leah Fenter, Ben, Ron, Jeanette's son, Zach, Chantal and Wesley's son, Alida from the Lexos, Andrea from the Kennedys, Christopher from Janet and Marnus, and Yosha from Reno and Ozon. And it's so amazing, a living memorial, you know? They grow up in church, and we always look at those kids and know, this is the promise of revival. And, you know, as time passes, the Lord will show us what that means. If we just go back to the previous painting. So Neil also put them in. These are represent the revival children playing where we used to have our intercession and where the shofar is blowing. Very amazing. So in that time, we had all those things going on and the Lord really establishing that. And then from there, the Lord started bringing up a real need in church for prophetic healing. So you can go to the next one, just the description. So that's the description for the cry of a warrior, the call to action to open our mouths boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. It's on the wall. You can go see it there. So the next picture. The Lord really started speaking to us, and a lot of people came and saw me and asked for deliverance and for healing, emotional healing. And we as a movement, we started connecting to a ministry called Adult Ministries. The whole Shofar movement connects to them. We started their training on emotional wholeness. The Lord led us to a whole lot of different kinds of training, and we started seeing a lot of people, a few of us, and the Lord really started training us in this. And this is the picture that Lenka drew. And when she was praying about this, so this is the face of the man, the third one. And what the Lord was, the scripture he gave her, if you can go to the next one, I love her description, I'm just going to read it. A visual declaration of life, according to the promises in Isaiah 55 verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress tree. So she said the picture is that of a heart full of thorns. The Lord takes out the thorns, and everywhere there's a hole where the thorn was, we expect the Lord to patch the hole. Or maybe we expect him to actually make the hole like there never was one. But what the Lord does is from every hole he brings a tree. So where there was destruction, he brings life and fruit and growth and shelter. Instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree. So instead of the thorn shall come up a cypress tree. Shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, an everlasting sign, a memorial to his praise. The shape of a heart is constructed through the illustration of trees. So the trees visually outline, but also in themselves represent life. They make up this heart with growing life. It's an emphasis on the fullness of life through God's work of healing and deliverance in our hearts. Restored life in areas of brokenness and captivity where thorns were taken out. This is his promise to us who believe, a heart that is fully alive. You can just go back to that picture. So this was a time where we had a lot of that. We also, the Lord spoke to us as the whole Shofar movement, all the Shofar churches. There's, I forget how many by now, 80 or something all over the world in different countries. And every year at Convergence, we get one theme from the Lord for all the churches that we follow for that year. Currently, from last year, Convergence till end of September this year, the theme is God's building, and it related a lot to this healing. It comes from Psalm 147, verse 1 to 2, and it says, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the scattered people of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds." And really something that manifested in church, unfortunately, such a pity that I can't share some incredible testimonies. Of course, when we do our healing and deliverance, it's very confidential. But I can tell you that we've really seen miraculous things, things that are maybe according to psychiatry or psychologists. In that sphere, these things, you know, I have a very good friend, Anne-Marie, she's a psychologist, and we have a good friend, Dr. Malik, who knows psychiatry, so I often speak to Anne-Marie, Raina often speaks to Dr. Malik, so we have a real reference for this, and, you know, we also check with them sometimes if there's a really chemical problem, etc., where we need their help, so sometimes they're aware of some of our cases that we deal with, and some things that, you know, Anne-Marie would tell me, this is a six-year problem, the Lord would work out in 2 months, and I wish I could tell you, but I can't, but it is just miraculous to see what the Lord did and has been doing in lives. And, you know, one thing I always see is, you know, I know who comes for the sessions. No one else knows everyone who comes. I know everyone that comes or who all comes. And just what I've seen is the difference on faces. It's so amazing. When people become emotionally healed and delivered, they become more beautiful. Their faces literally change. You know, I think it says somewhere in Scripture, your face will shine like the sun. It's really true. I see it. I remember one person, I was quite astounded. I could hardly recognize her after a few sessions. She had like a whole different face. She just looked completely different. So not a lot that I can share about that, but it's really been something amazing. And it, like everything else, it's still ongoing. So there was something we felt. We felt as the Lord does this emotional healing, that he's also going to, through that, just enlarge our capacity to care for the brokenhearted as they come in and to have a bigger capacity for salvation. So last year we had this leaders meeting at the beginning of the year. It might have even been at the end of 2014. The small group leaders, the zone coaches, the district leaders all met together. We prayed. We said that this was in the time when we were really focusing on evangelism. The Lord was establishing it amongst us. And we said, let's trust the Lord for salvation. We prayed. And Kathleen said, but let's ask the Lord for a number of salvations. And we said, okay, what do you guys feel? What is the Lord saying? And Kathleen said, we're 44 leaders assembled here. If we each have enough faith for one, then we can get 44 salvations. So let's trust for 44. And, you know, faith is a quantity like money. Like, you know, you get 1 rand or 2 rand or 10 rand, and it's different. So faith comes in quantity. It's not like there's faith or there's not faith. You can have little faith, you can have more faith, you can have a lot of faith. And, you know, faith adds up. So if you have 5 people with faith, that's more than just the one. You get some people who their faith is worth like 20 other people's faith. It's called the gift of faith. but it is accumulative. And your own faith can also expand. As you know, through things like testimonies. As you see what the Lord does, your faith increases. So it's quantifiable. And so she said, she didn't mean let each one of us, you know, bring one. Yes, sure, that would be awesome. But she meant let each one of us exercise our faith for one, which is actually still a little. We'll grow to much more. But so we did that and we prayed. And that was, I think, the Monday. The Thursday, we had the Grass Up Praise and Worship. So every year on campus, we have a praise and worship in the beginning of the year when the students get here. And it's turned out to be one of the most productive things we do as a church. We always connect with people at that praise and worship who become sons and daughters in this house. And it's just really been a powerful change in the atmosphere that comes every time when we have that. We proclaim the name of Jesus right there on campus in the open. And so we had the praise and worship on the Thursday, and we had the first year service the Sunday. And on the Monday, Esty went through all the cards. So when people respond to an altar call, they fill in a card. And she separates them who is just coming with the request for prayer, who's coming, they've been a Christian before, but they've been away from the Lord, and who's coming to God for the first time. So it's a recommitment, a salvation, and a first-time salvation, and a ministry request. And the first-time salvations were 44. Exactly, yeah. So that it's so amazing, you know, God is in this really big picture, but he's also in the really small detail. And it's so amazing when we take the time to see that and to see how it happens. Then what I'm very excited about, I can move on to the next picture. something I believe the Lord is establishing in our midst right now. And, you know, all the things that have been established, it's never going to fall away. It's part of who we are. It's part of the way the Lord uses us. And it's just going to go a level up, a level up, a level up as we all grow. And in the same way, so for me, the bull represents the apostolic. And the apostolic has been part of us from the beginning. So it's not new in that sense. But I'm going to explain to you what I mean. So this is Lizanne's painting. Really beautiful. At the top, you'll see it's night, the stars, you see the globe, then you see the outline of Africa, South Africa, and you see the harvesters. The harvesters have the logo of the bull because we're representing of the four faces, the face of the bull. They're working at the harvest, and there's the column of fire by night leading them, representing the Holy Spirit. So let me read you the description on the next one. The apostolic call propels us. So let me just say, apostolic means it's like evangelism, but big picture. So apostolic is like taking nations for the Lord and countries. It's planting churches. It's really the big, big picture of church. The apostolic call propels us from the breadbasket, which is South Africa, up into Africa and to the ends of the earth, making disciples of all the nations. Understand the present time. The night is almost over and the day is almost here. Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. Yet he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. His spirit leads us by the pillar of fire at night. And at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. The emblem of the ox on the harvester represents strength and persistence. Much increase comes by the strength of an ox. And then Psalm 92, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. And this whole description is based on scripture. You can go look next to the painting. All the scripture references are there. You know, and a few years ago, actually, you know, something interesting I saw from listing down the missions that we've done. So I've listed them all year. Malawi, Durban, Tanzania, DRC, India, Plet, Kenya. A lot of them were more than once. Zimbabwe, Brazzaville, Botswana, Cape Town, Rwanda, Israel, Philippines, Joburg, and then a lot of those get repeated and coast to coast. But when I read through it and saw which place we've been the most, who can take a guess? Africa? Yes, they're mostly in Africa. You're right. But what specific place? Congo? No. Zimbabwe? No. No. It's funny because I also didn't see this coming. Yeah, we're in South Africa. No, not Costa Rica. Okay. No. It's so funny, isn't it, that we don't see it? No. Durban, who said that? Tinashe. We've been to Durban 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. And then in 2014, we sent Marnus and Janice, and they replanted the church there. It was so amazing for me to see that. That's apostolic. 2015 as well. I don't even have that on my list. Wow. Extra one. So, oh yeah, you guys went, yeah. And so that the Durban church underwent some changes, and in which year did we go? It's 2014. Myself and Raina went, yes, because just after my son was born, he was 2 weeks old, and then we went on a mission trip with the kids. It was interesting. Gobi knows because she came to help me and rescue me with two babies on a mission trip. But it was amazing. We went for 6 weeks, and we just helped the church reestablish in Durban. And then when we came back, we sent Marnus and Janet, and they're still there pastoring the church. So Marnus used to be pastor here, and then we sent them. So that was the first. I mean, of course, the fact that this church was planted is apostolic. But the first apostolic sent from our church was to Durban. And isn't it interesting that the Lord led us there every year leading up to it? Amazing how he works, how he prepares the ground. So now I'm wondering about DRC, Matthew. I see some things here lining up. But also, of course, last year, or was it this year? Yeah, this year. Marichen, also we sent Marichen to Durban to also support them there. And of course, we sent Esty this year to HQ, and she's the office manager of the apostolic office. Just showing really how the Lord is establishing this within us at the moment. Coming back to the birds in the tree in the first vision, School of Nations. So because of, you know, the call on our church. So as a movement in Shofar, there's specific things that the Lord has given us. We have Bible school. So since 2010, when we planted the church, we've had first and second year Bible school every year. So for 7 years. And we always have a class between 20 and 50. So I can't make that sum really quickly. Can someone? 7 times 35. No idea. A lot. To 280? I don't know. Anyways, a lot of people have done first and second year Bible school since we've started. You know, and I think our church numbers, I think, Gubby, do you know what it is? 100 and? Yeah, I guess kind of 140 something is our church number. So for us to have had, you know, 240 people going on missions and, what did I say now? How many? 280 people going through Bible school. That's a lot. That's double as many people as we have. But that's because people often come and go because of how Cape Town is. People come for a few years and then they go. But really something we can be proud of, that the Lord has done here and what he's done in our lives. And also we have encounters, which are absolutely crucial. For me, I don't think we should explain why anyone should do encounters. Just say, do all the encounters. You'll never, ever be sorry. It will change your life. Encounter 1, 2, 3, 4. So those we've also been doing. But because of our specific call as a church, we've added something called the School of the Nations, where we cover topics that are not covered in Bible school or encounters. More specific things to our calling. We deal with evangelism to Islam, evangelism in African contexts. We speak about witchcraft and rituals. We speak about the prophetic. We really train the students properly in the prophetic. I always do a dance workshop with them on kind of the third day. So the first 2 days, they normally do full-day prophetic. So on the third day, normally when I get to the School of Nations students, you say prophesy, they prophesy. It's like 1, 2, 3, go, and they go. But I'm not even joking. They get so trained in it. So School of Nations, it felt to me like it started long ago, but it actually started last year, in January. Can you believe it? So we've had one last year, January, June, and November, and this year in June. And in total, we've had 31 people through it. It's 2 weeks every day from 8 in the morning till about 10 at night. So it's intensive. It is not a thing that we take 100 people for. It's an intensive small group kind of thing. But we've already seen some fruit from that, and I believe we're going to still see more. Just also on the apostolic, Rafiwa was a church member with us, and she's moved to Limpopo. She actually also joined the church through the Grasa Praise and Worship. And last year, they started planting Shofar in Limpopo. So also part of the apostolic fruit from the church and what the Lord does. So if we can go back to the first painting, just that scripture that the Lord keeps bringing, Matthew 13, the seed will grow, though it is the smallest seed, it will grow into the largest tree, and all the birds of the air will flock to it and make their nest in it. If you look at the birds there, representative of the School of Nations, and just the specific thing that the Lord is establishing in our midst. And we've had a request to expand our School of Nations in 2 ways, to all the campuses on South Africa. So we're getting geared up for that. Needs a little bit more preparation. But and also to expand it to a module for unbelievers. So currently School of Nations is targeting Christians, but we're also going to, and we've already started developing that module. It's called Governance. And what we're going to aim to do is raise up good leaders on campuses, responding to the protests, responding to what's been going on. And it's not going to be a Christian module, but we know where we're going to get our inspiration and our principles from. And we know because it is like that, we know that that's the only true change. You know, at the State of the Nation address, I was thinking about our country, and I was praying, and it was also that time of the protest, and I was asking the Lord what's on his heart. And, you know, sometimes as Christians, when things happen, we want to respond and react. And for sure, as Christians, we should be a voice, and for sure we should be involved. And we don't believe in monasteries, you know, remove yourself from the world. Go live your own little life. That never ends up well anyways. It's not the way the Lord made it. But as I was praying about the State of the Nation address, as I was praying about the protests, the Lord clearly spoke into my mind. He said, what I want you to do is School of Nations, and this is your answer. And he said to me, how do you not know you're not raising and discipling the next president in 15 years' time or 20 years' time? And the Lord was really challenging me to take that long-term perspective. Yes, we need to do something right now, but the most important thing we have to do is long-term. We have to think ahead. We have to trust the Lord for his people that he's already selected and be good stewards of them when the Lord entrusts them into our hands and good intercessors for them. Okay, so you can go to Matthew 13 again. Okay, let's pause there. Actually, before I pull a few things together, let's actually do this. Lydia, can you come sing? So besides the artworks, we've also had both Lydia and Matthew really press into the Lord and ask him for a song that celebrates what the Lord has done amongst us. Now, you know, if you read Psalms, a biblical way to celebrate a victory or something that the Lord has done, another biblical memorial is a song. So if you read Psalms, if you look at the headings, it will often say a song about this victory or a song when the Lord did this. And this is what they trusted the Lord for. So Lydia specifically felt the Lord speaking to her, and you guys can get Lydia's lyrics on. Okay, thanks. To her about that the time when we planted the church, about the intercession, about the prophetic. And those are the two scriptures, there are two scriptures, but that's one of them that the Lord spoke to her from. And she's just going to minister the song to us. The lyrics are there so that you can look at it. You know, some people like to know what it is. Some people like to feel the song. Some people like to listen. So whichever way the Lord works with you. But I want you to just enjoy the song. They're going to perform it for us. Lydia's going to sing. And to really let the Holy Spirit speak to you through it. What we're doing tonight is we're celebrating. And we, you know, we're really thanking the Lord for what he's done. So let's enjoy that one. Just the same way as I said about the paintings, it's really a prophetic song. You know, it's specific lyrics that the Lord spoke to. So I want you to really trust the Lord to speak to you. You know, maybe God will not speak to you through the lyrics at all. Maybe he'll speak something else to you. Maybe as they're singing, your eyes are closed, you see a picture that God shows you. Maybe one of the lyrics will really jump out at you and the Lord will be telling you something specific. Maybe all the lyrics will stand out to you and the Lord will be telling you a song. But I want to encourage you, just receive it. Like, open your heart, open your spirit, connect to the Lord. Just receive what the Lord brings. The wind is not moving.
the Savior. For your glory we were made. We will praise your name. Let everyone come, declare there is no other Savior. For your glory we were made. We will praise your name. Let everyone come, declare there is no other Savior.
Thank you, Lydia and band. I've heard Lydia sing it. I haven't heard the whole band. Wow. That's amazing. So powerful when the Lord speaks something specific to us. And, you know, all of us are different. We all receive in different ways. Some of us like we audio. We like to hear something. Some people are readers. They like to read something. Some people are visual. They like to see something. Some people are feelers. They like to feel it. I'm a visual one. I like to see it. But it's amazing that the Lord speaks in all the different ways, and because he wants to reach everyone, and we should partner with him, you know, in all the different ways, because he loves everyone in that specific way, that because he created us like that. So just in conclusion, a few specific things that really stood out for me as I went through this. So I made my notes as I was remembering the Lord was speaking to me as I was praying. And it kind of goes in a circle, the eagle, the lion, the man, and the bull. So the eagle, the lion, the man, and the bull. And, you know, it's this thing where the Lord is saying to me, nothing ever goes away, but he takes it higher, he takes it higher. And as I was drawing things, then things would connect up and the Lord would speak to me. And it all came back into the center. So I made a little circle in the center of my notes. And I said, it's all going around. It's all going around something. Something is the center. The Sunday school answer would be God. But I was pressing in for what is the Lord exactly saying. And, you know, as I went through the intercession notes of all the years of church, and just through a lot of my notes on sermons, etc., one thing that was incredible for me to see is there's a specific word that the Lord comes back to all the time, and actually quite regularly, a specific thing that he says to us. And, you know, I listened to Jason Upton. He's a musician. He's quite different, but I really like him. And he sings this one song. He says, "Let us sing the song of Jesus. There's hope in the refrain. For we all have left the garden, but we'll all return again." And he preached once in his sermon was, "I've been the boy. I've been the beggar by the road. I've been the boy coming back home. I've been the sinner and the saint. But the love of God has never changed." And he says, we expect Christian life to be like this, linear. You know, we start with God, it kind of goes up. Some people go up quickly, some people go up slowly, but it's kind of like this. Then we do walk with God, and it's like this. And then we feel bad, and we're like, okay, just don't let it happen again. You say it to yourself, then it happens again. You're like, ooh, quickly back up. And then somewhere it happens again, and you go through either devastation or hopelessness, and every time you go up, you think, I'm not going to fall again. Just going to stay there. And then you get to a point you're like, oh, I'm definitely going to fall again. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm not only speaking about, you know, I'm not speaking about sinning, falling back into sin, that as well sometimes, but I'm just speaking as well about, you know, times when you really press into God and times when we don't, times when we really experience the Lord and we see answers to our prayers, times when we don't. And he says, you know, a walk with the Lord is really not like this. it's a mountaintop and a valley, a mountaintop and a valley, a mountaintop and a valley. And he says the growth is in knowing when you're on the mountaintop that there will be a valley, but you're not going to fear. You're going to go through it with the Lord, and it's all going to be fine. That's the growth. That's the maturity. The maturity is not never having a valley. The maturity is going through the valley, being connected to the Lord, not walking away from him, blaming him, distrusting him, not losing your connection. And the center thing, this word that keeps on coming up from when we planted the church, was the Lord saying, reconnect to me. Come back to my heart. Come back to my love. Come back to your intimacy with me, your relationship with me. And it, when I say it, it seems so obvious, but it was amazing to see it, to see that he says that to us. Over the last 7 years, he keeps saying that to us. And isn't that it? That's it, you know? That is it. Our connection to the Lord, that's it. If you have it, you can have everything. If you don't have it, not much you can have. Everything revolves around that. And it's so important for us to keep that in the center, you know, our connection with him, our relationship with him. Not based on our own strength, but based on who he is, the good Father and the lover of our souls. And something interesting that the Lord showed us, showed me, if you can go down to Matthew 13, but the one at the bottom. After the last artwork, and then I think two more down. When that scripture in Matthew 13, verse 32, it says, you know, though it is the smallest of seed, yet it becomes the largest tree, and all the birds will flock to it and make their nest in it. So before the verse preceding says, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in his field. And I looked at the scripture and I said, you know, what does the mustard seed represent? Who knows? Faith. Yes, so we always hear that, the mustard seed of faith. But then I was like, it doesn't say that in that scripture. Like, oh, shucks, where did they get that? So I looked it up, and it is from the Bible. So it is true. It's just from Matthew 17. But it says, actually, the disciples were not able to cast out a demon. They came to him, they said, why? He said, because of your little faith. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed. So, you know, the Lord keeps giving this picture of the tree, and he started with the seed. You know, and it's like the seed is planted there. And the one thing that we know is that the seed is this connection. This is our relationship to Jesus. But what he is also showing us is that the seed is that of faith. And it's the seed of faith which becomes the biggest tree, where all the birds of the field, all the nations come and make their nest in it. And the Lord breaks open the fallow ground, and there's life and water and everything that he does. And he establishes his name. And I think that these two are really one. You know, the seed of faith and this connection in our relationship to the Lord. Because what is faith? Faith, like I said, is quantifiable. It's something literal. Faith is trusting God. So if we trust God and what he does, we have faith when he says something. So if our connection, our relationship to him is strong, and we get to know who he is, and we can trust him, then we grow in our faith. So it really is the same thing. And that's the center of it all. And it's been so precious for me to see how it's played out over the last 7 years. And to also sense in my spirit what the Lord yet wants to do here and through us and through each one of your lives. You know, everyone is a part of the puzzle that the Lord builds. And he wants to establish that. And what is so amazing for me to see is, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So the key scripture that God's given to our church is, it shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountain. And we're literally on a mountain. And now the Lord is saying, with this key that you have, this it, the center, your connection to me, your faith, you can move a mountain. You can, yeah, just go back to the other one again. Nothing will be impossible for you. Moving a mountain, literally we have this mountain here. Don't particularly feel it should be moved right now. But signifying anything that we want to, that the Lord wants to move in the spirit, that we partner with him, anything that he wants to establish, break down, build, etc., and speaking over the whole continent, and nothing will be impossible for you. Of course, when we partner with him with what is in his will, nothing will be impossible for us. So let's stand together. I have the sense, you know, that the Lord is preparing our hearts for the next thing he wants to do and the next season that he's taking us into. Maybe if Matthew can be ready for his song. In January, on the 17th, we'll be 7 years old as a church. And seven is the number of completion. And I have the sense, you know, that all these things and that the Lord stirred me to do this research and make these notes and do the sermon and do the artworks as memorials, not because we're going to do it every year, but because the Lord is showing us that this is a specific season, this 7 years package, which is until January. And I think it's like a seed, like a foundation. And he wants us to remember it, and he wants to show us what he's done and tell of his testimonies. And he wants to do something in our hearts, and then that's going to be there. It's going to be established. And then he's going to start something on top of that. And I'm excited about that. I'm sometimes nervous about that. but we know when we go with the Lord, doesn't matter where we go, as long as we have that connection to him. And I think it's one of the key things he wants to establish. And that's something that his spirit does, and he could even do it tonight in your heart. You know, and I watch Fred May is the leader of the whole Shofar movement. And last week we had a global fast. All the Shofars all over the world, we all fasted for 3 consecutive days, just with water, really trusting the Lord. And it's the first time in 4 years that I've fasted because I've been pregnant and having babies the previous 4 years. So it's the first time that I'm able to fast. I'm not pregnant or breastfeeding. But it was hard, really being out of practice. but it was also glorious. I love when you get to that last day and it's not just suffering. You can actually feel something moving in the spirit. You know, with fasting, someone once asked me, what's the point? Because I just suffer and I never have quiet time when I fast because I'm irritable and I just want to sleep all the time. And Inika just think about food. I said, you know, the point of fasting is you really laying down your flesh. So you probably are going to suffer. I still suffer when I fast. But that's not the point. The point is the spiritual significance of what you're doing. And you don't need to be feeling it. You know, Christianity is not a feeling. Sometimes there are feelings, and that's awesome. I love feelings. But I really do love when I can feel God. I'm that kind of person. But it's not about that. It's about the truth. But my point being, Pastor Fred May sent a video to all of us. And, you know, let Gobi know if you haven't seen it, if you want to see it. You should have seen it in your small groups this week. Speaking about the fast, and he said the same thing. It was such a confirmation to me. He said that as a movement, there's a season shift happening. And the Lord is saying that if the seed, like this whole, the movement, I think is 22 years old. And this whole 22 years has been like a season. And it's still in seed form. It hasn't exploded yet. And if there's a defect in the seed, and he says that he feels soon it's going to actually explode and it's going to start growing exponentially. But if there's a problem with the seed or a defect and it's not sorted out before it starts growing, once it starts growing, the defect multiplies into every branch, every tree, every fruit, and then it's a big mess. So he said this is a time where the Lord is enabling us and doing a work in our spirit to heal the seed. And I must say, when I heard that, I've no idea what he was talking about. I could relate to it, but I don't know what it means. You know, I'm saying things like, what do you mean the defect? What? What is the defect? What does it look like? How do I fix it? What do I pray? How do I know I have it? How many do I have? how do I know when it's gone? It's all very up in the air. And sometimes the Lord speaks like that. And, you know, sometimes we don't have to understand everything. Like I said, we're not going with weird, but we're going with obedience. And I can tell you that I don't fully understand it yet. Maybe I will at some point, maybe I won't. But I'm just saying, Lord, here is my spirit. Here is my heart. And I'm trusting you. I can hear you saying there's a work you want to do. You do it. Tell me what to do. Show me if I need to repent of something. Show me if there's a prophetic action I need to do. Show me in my life what I need to do. But I can't do the work. I can just be obedient. You do the work. And Matthew's going to sing also a song that the Lord really gave him specifically. And specifically, he was wrestling with the Lord about this, the apostolic. And I believe this is the nature of the seed is the apostolic. And I believe it's really tied in with this. So don't understand, doesn't matter if you don't understand it all with your head. Don't be too concerned about that. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you and He will show you what does it mean for you right now. And all you need to do, the Lord does the work. All you need to do is you just say, Lord, you do the work in me. You heal what needs to be healed. I'm willing. That's what God normally requires of us, willingness. That's it. And so you're welcome to sing with. You're welcome to sit down and take it in. You're welcome to lie on the floor. You're welcome to dance. Let's give each other the freedom. You know, if someone wants to lie down, don't be staring at them. Let them. If you don't want to, you don't have to. If someone wants to dance, let them. Let's each, you know, whatever is your way of connecting to the Lord. Don't worry about everyone else. You worry about you and the Lord. And just let Him do a work in your heart. Thanks, Matthew.
Cool. I'll just teach you just a little chorus that we are missing around it. It goes this way. We're lifting up your name higher, higher. We're lifting up your name higher, higher. Let's sing that. We're lifting up your name higher, higher. Every nation singing higher, higher. So you are going to respond just higher, higher. I'll be changing words. All right, let's try again. We're lifting up your name higher, higher. Every nation singing higher, higher.
Oh, we're lifting up your name higher, higher. Every nation singing higher.
All right, and then the chorus goes.
Sons and daughters coming from afar, gathered through the Father's trumpet, singing redemption song, lifting up the name of Jesus.
Cool. So let's start properly.
Step with your spirit coming out over our tent, eyes looking to the sky, see million stars, nations you call by name. Realms of oppression, raising up David's tabernacle, Jesus Christ our theme song. Let the nations be loved and sing for joy.
Sons of God.
Sons and daughters coming from afar, gathered through the Father's trumpet, singing redemption song, lifting up the name of Jesus.
Educating faith.
Sons and daughters coming from afar, gathered through the Father's trumpet, redemption song, lifting up the name of Jesus. In step with your spirit, coming God over them, eyes looking to the sky, a million stars, you call by me. We are stepping on your ground, realms of worship, raising up David's tabernacle, Jesus Christ our King song. Let the nation
Dios, Santa Dolores,
Santa Dolores, camino from afar. Song lifting up the limb of the life.
And together we go.
We lifting up your name higher, higher. We lifting up your name higher. Jesus, Jesus, higher, higher. Every nation singing higher, higher.
Exalt his name, just lifting up our hands and just declaring that the Lord is lifted high. Bible says, when the Son of Man will be lifted high, he shall draw all men unto him. Just in this place, prophetically, let's do it as we exalt his name in this place, because it's worthy.
Oh,
your name.
just close our eyes. And as I was speaking about that central thing, I believe for some of us, the Lord just wants to restore us in that place tonight, just that connection to Him. And maybe you've never actually had that connection to Him. It seems a bit strange to you. And then I just want to pray for you tonight. If there's someone here who's never had that connection to Jesus or have known God, heard His voice, just show me where you are. Just look up at me so that I can see you. If there's anyone like that, if I'm not seeing your eyes, then just indicate to me so I can see you. I just want to pray with you tonight. And if there's anyone tonight that's known that place, but right now you're not at that place of connection to Him, why don't you just look at me, then I can pray for you. Anyone else? If I haven't seen you, just indicate to me. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we just agree with each person who's sensing tonight that they're not that connected to you. Father, we ask, Holy Spirit, you expose just what is blocking the connection, and that you would open that up, Lord. Just remove things that are not of you. Thank you, Lord. You're showing me the picture of that fountain, Father, and that was a fountain that was bringing forth the wrong water, bad water. Father, but it was easy for you to remove it. To establish life. And thank you, Father, over every life that's not connected to you right now, every heart. We just ask, Jesus, that you would remove every bad fountain in Jesus' name. Father, and just establish a flow of life. We trust over their fountains that it would be opened now in Jesus' name. And that there would be a full flow now in Jesus' name. We trust you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. And I just sense also, you know, the Spirit, the testimony of Jesus, the Spirit of prophecy, and spoke quite a lot about healing tonight. And if there's anyone who needs physical healing, I just want to pray for you. So won't you put up your hand? Anyone who has an illness or an injury or a pain, okay. Can some of the zone coaches and small group leaders just go stand with the people who have their hands up? Just keep your hand up. Gubby, can you get them some oil, please? If you're standing around someone who has their hand up, you can also just pray with. We're not going to be long. We're just going to pray a quick prayer. You just share quickly with the person what the illness is or where the pain is. Gubby's going to get you some oil. And we're just going to declare healing. If you're standing around a person like that, the only thing you do is you put your hand on them or towards them, and you just declare healing. We're all going to pray together. Just pray over the person. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing. We just resist this sickness now, or this injury now, in Jesus' name. And we just speak life now. Thank you for your cross, and thank you for the healing that you bought at the cross. Thank you for that flow of life. Thank you for healing, Jesus. We just receive your healing. We resist any sickness now. We resist infections and germs. We thank you for that prophecy, Lord, of full healing. We just release that now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you're welcome to continue praying if you want to pray a bit more. Those who need to go, we want to bless you and bless your week. You know, there's going to be some snacks around the corner there. Please help yourself with coffee and tea and snacks, and meet some people if you're visiting, and go and have some social around the corner. Those of you still praying can continue praying. And then just those of us who would like to, I just sense while we were singing the song, just that declaration. Maybe some of you praying for healing, if you want to continue praying, maybe you can go around the corner as well. It might get loud. But I want us to just continue singing that song, Matthew. And for those who are keen, I just sense that you know, some of us, we still want to be declaring that. And the words that, you know, something that Matthew prayed specifically for us as a body to proclaim. So for those who are keen, we can just worship some more and proclaim these words. But you're also free to go and enjoy some snacks. The Lord bless you. Thanks, Matthew.